Any daily media source outlet recounts tragic stories, and we have one after another. Stories of premature deaths, fractured relationships, broken dreams. Indeed, we don't even have to turn to the news media in order to realize that the world is filled with troubles and sorrows. We only have to look at our friends, our families, our own lives. And the thing about our faith as Christians is the one we call Lord, Jesus Christ, the healer, the power giver, never insulted people by telling them that their problems were not real. He never told the sick that they were not really sick or that illness had no pain or reality. He never told people that death wasn't real, nor did he offer to the widow in today's gospel some sort of Pollyannish pablum to soothe her grieving heart. This is not Christianity. We all know that trouble and tragedy are real. Evil and death are real. Are you out of a job? Has your home declined in value? Are your finances dwindling? Do you have a serious illness? Is your marriage not right? Are there real problems with your adult children? Are you enslaved to a debilitating habit? To be a Christian is to face these things head on. We do not deny them. We do not say they do not exist. Today's gospel reading is a case in point. There's no denial in this reading about the reality of the anguish that death brings into our lives. What this story helps us to identify is that in a world where there is real pain, Jesus wants to meet us in that place of deepest sorrow. At the point of life's most debilitating and seemingly life-defying experience, this encounter between Jesus and the widow of Nain brings into focus a vitally important question. Here's the question. What happens when the way of life meets the way of death? What happens when the good news of the gospel meets the bad news of the world? Notice, please, that this is a story about two processions. One procession is going into the town of Nain, the other procession is going out of the city. It's almost as if we have here a collision course, like two trains on the same track, or two armies that oppose each other that are charging towards one another, and something has to give. We all know that death is certain, death is immovable. When the young man entered death, it was his final step. When death takes hold of a person, there is no return, no going back, no appeal, no argument. Death is the end, and death has, it seems, the last word. And in our scripture reading, we have here in this passage a story of a woman who is a widow, and this is her only son. And you need to appreciate Nain. Nain is Nowheresville. No one even then would say, like, where is it on the map? It meant nothing. But it meant something to Jesus, who was going into Nowheresville as this funeral procession was going out of the town. Because it's here in this backwater, headed by death, that the procession headed by Jesus is the procession of life. Jesus came to have the last word. Jesus is himself life. And because he is life, he can speak this word with authority. And here's what happens in our story this evening. When these two processions meet head on, the procession headed by the coffin and the corpse give way. We discover that indeed, it is the procession headed by the coffin that gives way because Jesus is first of all willing to enter fully into the suffering that accompanies the death. And he is able to speak a word that confronts death and stops it dead in its tracks. But this is important Jesus doesn't just come and speak the word of authority. No, St. Luke tells us the following. When the Lord saw this woman, he had compassion for her. The word compassion in English means to suffer with. To suffer with. It's even more meaningful in the original Greek language. In the Greek, this word that is used for compassion means that Jesus was moved in his bowels. In other words, he was about to have a bowel movement. Have you ever had that kind of experience of compassion? Have you ever experienced suffering in that way? That's what this is all about. That's what is going on here. Jesus literally felt the widow's grief. The sorrow he witnessed mattered profoundly and intensely to the point that it caused him intestinal discomfort. There's a book in the Old Testament you've perhaps never read. It's called The Lamentations of Jeremiah. And in this book, there is this one verse that so beautifully encapsulates this word compassion. Listen to Lamentations chapter 1, verse 20. See, O Lord, how distressed I am. My stomach churns. My heart is wrung within me. Why? Because in the street, the sword bereaves. In the house, it's like death. Death does that to us. Death touches us, and it gets us in the gut. It did for Jesus. So never read over this verse and say, let's get to the punchline. This is profoundly significant to hear this verse before we get to the next verse, when Jesus, with two direct statements, says to the woman, do not grieve, and to the one who is dead, young man, I say to you, rise. Now, here's the thing in this story. We do know that this young man rises, but there are only two other times in Jesus' ministry where he brings the dead back to life, a 12-year-old girl and his friend Lazarus. And I think in the Old Testament, the story that we heard is the only one there. So it's not like the dead are rising all the time in the Bible. It's an exception there too. The Catechism of the Catholic Church helps us to understand what these events mean when it writes, Jesus did not heal all the sick or bring the dead back to life. His healings were signs of the coming of the kingdom of God. They announced a more radical healing, the victory over sin and death through his own Passover and death. This gets to the heart of the matter. In this case, the woman's sorrow did immediately give way to joy, and her tears were wiped away because as soon as she heard Jesus say, arise, to the young man, she heard her son's voice. Wouldn't that bring a stop to your tears? It would. But what about us? What do we take away from this story? Well, if we had been there in Nain, we would have, with our physical eyes, seen this man be raised from the dead. Yet today, we are not in Nain. We're in Calgary. We're here at St. Peter's. And what the church invites us to this evening is to see with the eyes of faith that we need to look at a story like this and affirm afresh that because of Jesus' word, death does not have the last word. That's the take-home message from this homily. Because Jesus is the word of life, or because Jesus' word, death does not have the last word. St. Augustine, hundreds of years ago, put it like this. It is a greater miracle to raise again one who is to live forever than to raise one who must die again. Because people of faith have this perspective, we understand that grief has a context. Grief does not have the last word because death does not have the last word. This means that as Christians, we grieve, and we grieve deeply. But our grief is hopeful because those two processions meeting in Nain, one going out of the city to the cemetery, the other coming into the city, when they met, the way of life is victorious over the way of death. Father Jerome is also going to speak to the subject that I am now to address. This passage is so timely in light of the tragedy that happened in Tuscany a week ago Thursday. As you have undoubtedly heard, around supper on the 26th of May, 7-year-old Sloane Marie Vetchko was accidentally struck as her father drove out of the family's Northwest Calgary driveway. Here is a story of such tragic dimensions, but one where life met death head on, and it is so reminiscent of today's gospel. Talk about compassion. The response of the community to the family has been overwhelming. Throughout Tuscany, there are teal ribbons expressing the neighbor's solidarity with the family. Why teal? It was Sloane's favorite color. As of this morning, when I checked at about 11 o'clock, 961 people have donated over $110,000 to support Jason, who is self-employed, his wife Shannon, and their 4 remaining children. And in the midst of death, there is the message of life. Because Jesus defeated death, those grieving Sloane's death are hope-filled. The Vetchkos are devout Catholics. Here is the statement that the family issued after Sloane died on Tuesday, the day of the visitation when we celebrate Mary going to visit Elizabeth. Our beloved and most exquisite daughter, Sloane Marie Vetchko, passed this morning in her mother's and father's arms to an army of angels' wings. Now, apart from the resurrection of Christ, apart from the story we've just talked about, that's just sentimental. We don't know if that's true or not. But because what we understand to be true about the gospel, there's something out about Sloane's life that you need to know. Prior to the accident, she talked with her mom about donating her organs, which she has done. And this makes her death reminiscent of Jesus' death. In a profound way, Sloane died so that others will be able to live. Nothing can take away from the anguish and sorrow that this story contains. But when seen in the light of this other story from a town called Nain in Nowheresville, Palestine, when the procession of life meets the procession of death, Jesus says, "I say to you, get up." And beloved, in a way that you and I cannot comprehend, Sloane has heard those words. "Little girl, get up, rise." It is because Jesus went to Nain and spoke the words that he did, that sorrowful family was able to hear God's words spoken through the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. "We would not have you be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope." So as Christians, we definitely grieve. It's real. But says St. Paul, we don't grieve as people who don't have hope. We grieve as people who do have hope. And what is our hope? Well, he tells us in the next verse. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Either this is the best news in the world, or we are the most deluded people in the world. I choose to believe it's the best news in the world. And because of this news, it helps to make sense of every bad news. The reason we believe that this is so is because Jesus not only defeated death when he raised that young man from the dead, Jesus defeated the Lord of death by rising from death. These two processions, one going in, one going out, in this world, they are always on a collision course. And though it might seem that death wins, this is not so. Because of Jesus Christ, the sting of death gives way to the healing balm of the resurrection. So in a world like this, we have to grieve. But such grief, when coupled with compassion, when coupled with hope, allows life to win every time.